Good evening, boys. It's currently 1 a.m., but I just felt like answering some questions. So we got this question here from a guy in our community. Dear Hamza, are abs possible in 3 months? Before I give my answer to this, if you're interested, leave your comments on YouTube. If you, like, what advice you'd give to someone who wanted abs in 3 months. And let's read what he wrote. Am I crazy for thinking it's possible that you don't need to be bloated for 4 years before thinking of glucose biscuits on your stomach? I don't know what he means by that. Let's establish some key facts. Abs are indeed a muscle to be trained, and I train them. I've chosen to be on a lean bulk until I've packed enough overall muscle, and I'll choose to cut 2 to 3 years from now if things go right. Cutting without enough muscle mass will make you look like a smaller, weirder version of yourself. Cool. Yeah, this is true. So a lot of people, like, they want to cut and they want to get lean because you've heard that lean is law. And that is absolutely true. Lean is law. If you want, like, the Hamza's official statements, being lean makes you way more attractive than being bulky. I 100% will die on this hill, even if you see, you know, propaganda from women who will say, like, oh, guys, this is the best male physique, and it's like a guy who's got, like, 20% body fat. Don't listen to them. When you are 20% body fat or 10%, and obviously you're naturally a little bit smaller, when you're walking around, I promise you, you will get way more attention when you are lean, way more respect, and you'll probably just feel better as well. So honestly, I'm trying to figure something out. What the fuck are abs? I go one YouTube search on it, and I get fed up without the real answers. Abs are a muscle, as everyone keeps parroting, but what's next? Do they only show at a certain body fat, or is there more to it? What else is there to abs? Can I have them as I bulk, but without cutting? I've watched your vids, and you haven't gone in-depth on this, which is why I'm asking. So let me give you my advice on if you want, like, a six-pack, right? Because this was actually my initial goal when I first started weightlifting. I just wanted a six-pack. That was, like, the only thing I wanted when I was, like, 16 years old. And now I've had, like, a visible six-pack for, like, a few years, right? So I'll tell you exactly what you have to do. Because people will say, like, abs are made in the kitchen. They're not. That's like saying your biceps are made in the kitchen. Not really. You, like, abs are a muscle, which means that you have to train them with progressive overload. Now, you don't have to do this because your abs will get some indirect work from many, many exercises. And for many people, if they don't train abs at all and they've got a decent amount of muscle mass, if they cut down, their abs actually still look okay. But for a lot of people, it doesn't. For a lot of people, even though they are kind of lean, that you should be able to see, like, a four pack or a six pack, and you can't because the muscle is just quite small. And so it doesn't make sense to just rely on this thing of, like, you can get lean and you'll be able to see your abs without training it. It's like saying, like, you can get lean and you'll be able to see your biceps without training it. Like, yeah, technically you probably would if you never really trained biceps directly and you just did back work. But you may as well, like, if it's something you care about, you may as well train it because it will look better, bigger, and blockier if you train your abs. So just put it this way. Just train your abs a couple of sets a week and focus on progressive overload. And there's so many different ways to do this. My favorite way is actually completely unscientific. It's like, bro, all the science bros would fucking hate me for this, but this is the best six-pack I ever got. Because this is a sustainable approach that was actually fun to do. I swear to God, this is so weird. No one's ever given this advice before because it's, like, so anti-science. But I would wake up every day, I'd brush my teeth, and then I'd do a couple sets of abs every morning after brushing my teeth. It wasn't scientific. I didn't go to the gym. I just dropped down on the floor, and I'd do, like, a set of, like, 30 crunches, and that was already, like, destroying me. Then I'd do what's called, like, a long lever plank, because a normal plank gets too easy. So basically, you get into a normal plank, and then just move your elbows up even further. So instead of your elbows being, like, sort of shoulder height on the floor, you move them more to, like, eye height, you know, on the level of your eyes, which makes it way harder. And if you can hold a normal plank for, like, a minute, you can hold a long lever plank, like a long plank, for, like, 10 seconds. So it becomes way harder. So I do a couple sets of those, and then I'd call it a day. Sometimes I do, like, a couple sets of lying leg raises, whatever. So I destroy my abs for about 5 minutes just whilst I was, like, waiting for the kettle to boil or something. And it's not scientific. It wasn't, like, you know, a really clean progressive overload with weight in the gym, you know, twice a week or whatever. But it was the thing that I stayed consistent in. It made me feel disciplined. It made me feel productive. And it was something I actually really needed around that time because I needed a feeling of, like, being, like, a disciplined, productive man. You know, there's a benefit not just to getting gains in the gym and muscles, but to like feeling like you're making progress every day. Like when I would check that off, I had like a little checklist. And when I would check that off, it felt like something that, you know, I was being productive. It made me feel like I wasn't the same little Jeffrey anymore. And so I would do that basically every single morning after brushing my teeth, before eating anything or starting work or whatever. Literally like 5-6 minutes. It's not long at all. Like, you know, two sets, three sets, whatever. And it was like an act of discipline. So sometimes if I didn't sleep well or if I was going through some like personal problems, whatever, I'd still show up and just get it done. And my abs looked probably the best then that they ever did out of any kind of ab training, like, which was really interesting because all the science nerds will tell you that, no, that's not true. You should train it with like weights in the gym because you wouldn't just do like a set of 30 or 50 or 100, you know, for like bicep curls. But for me personally, that's the way that I was most consistent in the training. So that's just how to build the muscle. One other thing I'll just say is it's a bit of a new mindset for me. And again, it's completely not scientific, but again, I think it will get results. A lot of us have seen the research that you generally don't want to go super high in reps. There was a big piece of research a few years ago that said that if you hit a set of about 5 reps to about 30 reps, it doesn't really matter if it's 5 or 30, it will make about the same gains inside of it. So generally people will say, okay, we'll make it less, so it's a less reps, so it's a little bit faster, whatever, right? But you can have higher reps if you want, 5 to 30, and it's the same muscle. Anything more than 30, and people will say that it starts becoming like endurance work and it's not really hypertrophic and stuff. And I don't believe that. I like with abs, I really think your abs will look better if you do a set that's higher than 30, if you've got to that point. So for example, if you've got good form and you're doing like a lying leg raise and you can get to like 20 reps and then you're thinking, oh, I don't really want to push much more. You can try like and try and add weight, but then it starts feeling complicated. Weight with abs, especially with the lower abs, gets really complicated because if you start doing like weighted leg raises, at that point you'll be using more like your fucking like hip flexors rather than your actual abs. So one day I just thought about it and I was like, okay, I do hanging leg raises. I can do about 20 reps. And I started to basically plateau at this level like 7 years ago, I could do 20 hanging leg raises because then it's like, I just don't train abs when I have to use weight for them. Scientifically, that's the best way. But for me personally, I don't want to do them in the gym. When I go into the gym to do like a chest day or an upper day, whatever, I don't really want to go and do abs in there as well, you know? And so whenever I would like be in the gym, I don't really want to do them. I don't like using the sort of machines or whatever, or trying to like, you know, use weight for abs. And then you're trying to put like a dumbbell in between your feet to do hanging leg raises, but then you don't even feel it like at all anymore and whatever. Instead of that, I just thought one day it's like, okay, well, what if you went up to like 100 reps? And obviously I'm not even close to doing 100 reps hanging leg raise, but it kind of broke this thing where I was like, oh yeah, like you can still make progress. If you can do 20 reps of a hanging leg raise, we'll get to like 40 and your abs will look better. People will say, oh, well, that's not scientific. You should try and increase the weight. But sometimes with some exercises, increasing the weight just makes the exercise so annoying that it's not fun. And when it's not fun, I won't do it. I'm like a retard. I only like train in a way that's been enjoyable for me. That's how I've built my dream physique, right? That's how I built my dream physique when I was natural. That's how I built my dream physique when I'm unnatural, because it's just fun for me. As soon as I add exercises that are annoying to set up, like weight abs, that's when I just don't enjoy it. Abs, you know, like the sort of the almost like the old school six pack abs routine, which is like, you know, body weight, Russian twists and stuff. That workout's fun as fuck. Seriously. Like when you're in the gym and you're doing like a weighted ab exercise for like 7-8 reps, and then you take a 3-minute break and then you do it again. That's not really fun. You're just disciplined. You're just doing it, whatever. When I'm like at home and I'm doing like a quick, like six pack workout, when it's fast, like this, it's completely not scientific, but bro, it's like, it gives me it makes me feel like it's a productive part of my day. I like the feeling. And I swear to God, overall, even if the science says it's wrong, overall, my six pack looks way better when I train it completely unscientifically than if I do it in the sort of science-based way. That's for me personally, right? And so basically what I'd say is train your abs, but train them in a way which will actually stay consistent in, because abs are like forearms and neck, which a lot of guys just don't train them consistently. They've heard about them, they want to, and then they start and they quit. They start and quit, and you basically just plateau in size for like 4 years straight. If that's the case with you, if you've been so inconsistent with your ab training, you'll make better progress when you're consistent with it, even if it's an unoptimal approach rather than being inconsistent with the most optimal approach. So you try it my way, wake up, brush your teeth, couple of minutes of a ab blast, completely unscientific, and just fucking blast it, like, you know, the morning routine of the American Psycho movie where he wakes up and he does like 1,000 crunches or some shit. It's so not scientific, but I promise you'll literally notice your abs will look the best they've ever looked because you'll actually stay consistent in it. It becomes like a fun part of your morning routine. I like doing that myself, so that's my way. So that's it. That's the training. But the diet is very important because abs are just like every other muscle, look best when you are lean. And so abs are way more sensitive because a lot of people hold way more fat in their stomach than they do like in their arms or whatever. So then naturally you need to be lower body fat for this as well. And this is where the sort of abs are made in the kitchen debate comes in. Abs are not made in the kitchen. Abs are made through these workouts and then they are revealed through a low body fat percentage. So then you've just got to be at a low body fat. Generally like 15% body fat is when you'll start to see like the faint lines of a four pack, and about 12% is when you'll start to see the faint lines of a six pack, and about 10% is when you'd say like, wow, he's got like a really defined six pack. Like people will say you've got a six pack at like 12%, but at 10% it's like model level, and anything a little bit less than 10% is when you'll get like abs that look like thick because the skin is so tight against it, where there'll even be like a few millimeters of sort of like thickness and bulging of each ab. It's been a while since I've been there. So basically you need to go and get lean. And so what's the best way to get lean as well? This is something I can really help you with because I literally wrote down a note recently that I'm currently experiencing the easiest fat loss season of a long time in my life. You know what? I'll just read out that what I actually wrote for this note just so you can read it exactly. Easiest fat loss in a while. The big mindset change is that I'm aiming for way lower protein. I'm lowering the pressure for eating protein. Usually I'll go for a pretty high protein amount, it's pretty normal, like 1 gram per pound of body weight. So for me, it's about 200 grams. And recently I've been allowing myself to have way lower. So I'm saying 120 grams. So that's the equivalent of like 0.6 grams of protein per pound of body weight. Now that seems like, wait, that's too low. The biggest study by far actually said that 0.6 was the last sort of time that they saw an increase of muscle mass. So 0.6 basically is about the lowest that you'd want to go. And the reason why that low protein seems to be helping me, it's not because protein's bad, but when I lower my goal for protein from 200 grams to 120, it allows me to just eat way less calories. And so this way, for example, I can get 120 grams of protein in my sort of calorie deficit of like, you know, 2,300 calories way easier than eating the same calories but 200 grams. So when I get to like, let's say I've ate 2,000 calories and I've already got 120 grams of protein, I'm like, okay, well, I'm done and I don't have to try and get the other 80 grams. It just makes it so much easier. So if you imagine your body weight right now, let's say you're like 160 pounds. If you're going for 160 grams of protein, you can hit it pretty easy with the diet that many of us are on. You know, you're eating animal protein, whey protein, whatever. But if you lowered it to like, let's say about 100 grams, and if you went above that, you're still happy. But that's like, at that point, above 100, you just think to yourself, okay, I'm not going to do much, whatever. I'm not going to think about it. You'd hit 100 so easily, and there'll be days where you'll hit 106 grams, and you're already close to your sort of calorie level, and you feel pretty full and satiated, and then you think, okay, well, I'll call that a day. That's pretty happy. But alternatively, before you heard this advice, you would have tried to squeeze in the last 55 grams of protein. And generally, you won't just get just straight protein. You would have added calories from other things. The pressure of protein often made me just eat above my calories. When it comes to fat loss, the most important thing is not hitting a high protein amount, like 1 gram per pound of body weight. Hitting an adequate, decent level, like 0.5, 0.6 grams of protein is okay. But the biggest thing with fat loss and with weight loss is you just need to be in a calorie deficit. So for me personally, this is the easiest fat loss I've had in like basically my like sort of bodybuilding life, is changing my protein goal from 1 gram per pound of body weight to 0.6 grams of pound per body weight. And I'm happy if it goes above, I'm happy. There'll be days where I eat particularly high protein because I like eating meat and stuff. But if I am on about 100, 120 grams, I'm fine with that. I'm not pressuring myself to go higher. And maybe it's something like, maybe, you know, it's not scientific again, whatever, but it's like, this is the easiest I've been getting lean. Like, it doesn't even feel like I'm working for it, because protein was always the sort of thing which you kind of set as the goal to hit. And that was always the thing that often made me eat above my calories. This is also an added benefit, because if you lower protein, you naturally have, you know, more calories to put into something. You put it into carbs, you train better, carbs help you to perform better in the gym. Carbs can fuck up your brain a bit, like, and give you brain fog. That's why I'm kind of like half against carbs in like a work season. But in terms of when we're talking about muscle mass, strength, athletic performance, like, carbs are good. So basically you can just eat more carbs. And there's a few other things. Eat till full. Don't even eat till calorie goal completes. So my calorie goal, let's say it's about like 2.3K. I'm on like a little bit of a strict sort of big calorie deficit. I don't actually try to hit the 2.3K every day, because I've noticed that some days I've got like a couple more bites left on my plate and I'm already full, and I really want to now align my diet less to just this sort of bodybuilding discipline and more to like respect to my actual body. My body's telling me I don't really want to finish this plate. And remember, I'm cutting, so it kind of makes more sense to sort of not, you know, to not eat as much. And so I'll just like leave it. And I remember the first day in probably my entire life where I had food on the plate, which I didn't finish, because I'm like a clean plate club enthusiast. I have ate and cleaned my plate basically every single time for the last like 10, 15 years. I always just finish whatever's on my plate. Even if I'm like full, I'll just do it, just because, I don't know, it's just like a discipline. But what I found was, if you want to get lean, here's some good advice. If you want to get lean, if you want to be like the guy who's effortlessly shredded, you need to get used to leaving food on your plates. Because a lot of the times, if you're like me, you'll finish off all the food on your plate because of this weird act of like discipline. Sometimes it was ego for me, if people were eating next to me and everything. And you know, this, I don't know, OCD, or you know what it is, like you want to just clean it off. And when you think about it, that's not actually aligned to your goals on a cut. On a cut, if you want to be more like a model who like doesn't really eat through the day. If you go in either direction, let's say you want to get lean and you want to stay lean forever. If you could go in either direction, you'd rather be under-eating than overeating, right? If you want that sort of lean, sort of TikTok boy physique, super, super lean jawline, whatever, you need to get used to under-eating below your calorie level. Let's say your calorie deficit's like, you know, 2,000 calories. It's better if you ate like 1,800 in a day than 2,200, you know, if you wanted to stay lean, right? If that's a big, big goal, which I honestly would say it is, I'd say staying lean is honestly more important than like getting bigger once you've been in the gym for a few months first, for a few years first. If you've been in the gym for like a couple of months, okay, focus on just building muscle, put some weight on, especially if you're like pretty underweight. If you're like 6 foot tall and you're 160 pounds, then of course you're way too low weight. Eat more, get to like 180 pounds, 200 pounds, whatever. But if you're like pretty normal weight for your size, let's say you're about 5'9 average height and you're about 160 pounds, then you don't, and you've already got like a decent amount of muscle mass, you've been lifting for like 3-4 years. Then at that point, bro, if you got super lean, you would actually like, a lot of people would think you'd have a 10 out of 10 physique at that point. You won't have much muscle, but if you got super lean, you would look like a picturesque, beautiful bodybuilder, and you want more muscle mass. But if you get lean and then stay lean whilst building that muscle, your life overall is going to be better. Once you've put in like a few years of bulking in the early years, which many of you guys who follow me, you've done, then at that point, bro, you've done your time in the trenches, right? Bulking is like time in the trenches. Do a couple of big bulks like ASAP when you're super young, especially through like your summer holidays in school or whatever. COVID was an amazing time for this. Do like, you know, do some big bulks when you first start. And then, bro, like honestly, my one regret is that I kept on doing bulks all the way through this bodybuilding journey. And I wish I stopped probably by the time I got to about like 5 or 6 years into lifting, because my progress was particularly slow. By around that point, I wish I had done like bigger bulks inside of the first few years. So I touched like 200 pounds, because I only hit 200 pounds as 6'1" height. Only in like 2024 or 2025 for the first time ever in my life. And I wish I hit 200 pounds more like 5 years into this journey. I wish I focused way more on just packing on mass in the first few years, because you fill out, you just gain. I swear to God, again, the science will say no, maybe not, whatever. You gain so much more muscle when you just bulk the first few years. Plus you need to get to a decent body weight, not because weight really matters, but because weight is a reflection of your muscle size based on your height as well. So if you've already done your time in the trenches, if you've already done a couple of big bulks. Now it's time to just get lean and add a switch your sort of diet protocol, one from like a bodybuilder to more like a model, where if you under eat your calories, you don't really stress about it. You know what I mean? If you want to stay lean, because for me, I always found it pretty hard to stay lean until I stopped doing this sort of thing of like eating everything that was on the plate. Technically, I should, because that would be my calorie goal, but sometimes I'd be eating it and I'd honestly just be kind of full and almost find the food a little bit sickly, even on a cut sometimes, right? Because sometimes, you know, you're eating something that's not like so fun or whatever, and I'd happily just stop here. But I'd eat more, and usually when I'd eat more is when I'd get like bloated and feel like bad about, you know, just like feel kind of full and whatever. So recently I've just been like eating less without this stress of like wanting to eat the entire plate and whatever, and without the stress of needing to get a higher protein level. And it's the easiest that I've been losing weight, and my strength in the gym is exactly the same for the last like month, 2 months. I haven't lost a single rep in basically any exercise. A few exercises went up, so it's very likely that like my muscle has been good as well. Take this with a caveat: I inject like 200 milligrams of testosterone a week, so potentially my lower protein intake is negated by the fact that I inject testosterone or my lower calories, whatever. So take this with a grain of salt. You might need to maybe have higher protein or higher calories. But it's just something like, here's the philosophy for you, which is I'm not stressing about hitting the protein goal anymore, and I'm not stressing about eating everything on the plate. Here's a few other things. Don't add more cardio. It's not necessary. There's been times when I've done a ton of cardio to aid with fat loss, and what I've found is now is I'm doing basically almost not much cardio at all, and I'm still losing the weight and the fat pretty easily. So cardio is good for your health, but don't push it for the fat loss. Just make eating your calorie deficit easy. And then I've just wrote like the sort of meals that I eat. I just eat like rice and meat and honey and yeah, that's about it. I eat like rice and meat basically like 2-3 times a day, done. I also, here's an interesting thing. This is going to sound controversial, but I also have some small snacks through the day with no guilt. So I'll have like a cube of chocolate with tea. I'll even have some like fucking sweeties. Not much at all. I'm talking like one sweet or two sweets, for example. Like there's some random thing that like someone's bought for me or whatever. And that sounds completely, oh, that's not discipline, whatever. But before this, I was like, I had like a bad habit of like once a week, twice a week, three times a week, I'd order like a big dessert. You know, I want to watch TV and watch something, so I'd order something like this. Food has always been my vice, right? I don't drink, I don't smoke, whatever. So food has always been my vice. And so very often I would order something, like order some dessert or some dirty food, and that would often, again, like sort of fuck up my fat loss. But what I found by having probably the equivalent of about, let's say about 80 to 120 calories of sweets per day. So it's not much at all. It's the equivalent of like two fairly large size sweets. For some reason, because the sweets that I've got, they're kind of like the sickly sour ones. That's enough to make me not want to get, like, I'm even thinking about it. It's like, it's nice, of course, but it's almost a little bit sickly, right? You know what I mean? Like, especially when you're a grown-ass man having candy, you don't, like, your self-image doesn't feel so good, right? But I'll have, like, one or two a day, and I haven't ordered, like, any dessert for weeks now, which is like that. Like, for a lot of guys watching this, food isn't really your vice, so that's not special. For me, it is. For me, it's like, this is the longest I've been without ordering, like, without getting, like, a big dessert from like a restaurant or whatever. And even when I was cutting before this, I would do that like every week, two times a week, whenever I just wanted like a cozy night in or some shit. It's been weeks and I've had zero cravings for it, because I eat these two to three, like two sweets and like a cube of dark chocolate, almost with like an act of discipline. I'll eat it even though I don't really feel like it. And it's so interesting because I then don't want to eat the bigger thing. So that's something to consider. I know it sounds controversial. You're probably like, you know, you're thinking like, wait, what? Like Hamza's eating fucking sweeties. But I swear, I know it sounds like cope, but overall, I'm actually having less sugar now. Because saying that a few sweets are part of my diet sounds a bit weird and undisciplined. But before this, I was experiencing the same thing that many guys on self-improvement experience, which is that I would have a really great diet for a few days and then really like fairly bad diet for a few days. Good, bad, good, bad. That's what happens with like many areas of self-improvement for guys. You know, you'll go a few days without watching porn, you know, when you're first starting self-improvement, and then you'll just completely binge on it and relapse and you know, go three times in a day, whatever. Then you go a few days again without it. Then you know, it's like the binge starve cycle, right? So yeah, that's completely destroyed it. And a few other things, the lifestyle of living with my friend is doing really well because we're working. And then when we hang out with each other downstairs in the living room, I make some tea for both of us. We have like, you know, like the bit of chocolate or whatever. And we just get back to work. We haven't sat to properly watch anything at all. Like, that's the interesting thing is I always used to couple food with watching stuff, always. Like, at first, when I was young, it was, you know, watching entertainment, like slop on the TV. Then it used to be like, okay, well, I'd watch like sort of YouTube videos, whatever. And then it was like the odd sort of, oh, I'd watch a movie or something with a girl and would order food and stuff. Because that was really like cozy and addictive for me. You know, that's a lot of pleasure for me. And for the last like month or so, I just haven't really watched anything whilst eating. I just kind of order the food and I just almost like I eat it. Like, it's weird. It's hard to explain because we eat at different times, me and my friend. But we just kind of like eat it almost like stood up, just like talking to each other. But the other person's not even eating the other because our schedule's a little bit different. So we don't have like a set eating time. So we don't like try and force ourselves to eat with each other. But for example, my food will be here. I'll walk downstairs and my friend is like recording content downstairs. So I'll open up my food. I'll start getting it ready and he'll come in and we'll talk about work. We'll talk about everything, whatever. And then I'll make some tea, whatever. He's drinking tea. He's like on his phone doing some work and I'll be eating the food whilst like talking to him, for example. And so I'm like stood up, imagine like visualizing me like just stood up in my kitchen eating some rice and meat, whatever, whilst talking to him. And then it's like I go back up to work after that. So that, instead of sitting down on the couch to eat, that has made it so easy to not overeat. So I don't have like the cozy time on the couch because, and I wrote, that's the final thing I wrote down was like, the only time I go above my calories is when I have that sort of cozy time on the couch, watching something, eating, whatever. When I watch something educational, I eat way less dirty food because it feels weird to eat something dirty and watch something educational at the same time. So watching like courses and stuff, like as we've got in our community here, that can work. But yeah, those are some tips that I've used to have like the easiest six pack of my life recently, like the easiest fat loss. This is after, you know, over a decade of experience in bodybuilding. You can go and try and find all the science and everything, but real sort of practical application is worth way more. And so these were a few tips. Maybe someone can write them out for me in the comments below. And if you want to join this community where you can ask questions like this and you get the courses that I've made, you know, on topics that many, many guys care about. Like we've got looks maxing, aesthetic body. If you want to copy paste my texting messages to send to girls, flirting, whatever, all this kind of stuff. If you want the courses and stuff, and if you want to join the community and get advice from me, just click on the top link in the description. Come join our community. There's 2,400 guys in here. Let's fucking go. Do the hard work, especially when you don't feel like it. Mwah!